and 9 top fives. Sixth, Austin Hill with 671 points, 2 wins, and 9 top fives. Seventh, Brandon Jones with 647 points, 1 win, and 4 top fives. Eighth, Riley Herbst with 613 points, 0 wins, and 5 top fives. Ninth, Sam Mayer, 609 points, 0 wins, and 8 top fives. 10th, Daniel Hemrick with 551 points, 0 wins, and 2 top fives. 11th, Landon Castle, 534 points, 0 wins, 3 top fives. And rounding out the playoffs right as of right now is Ryan Sieg with 523 points, 0 wins, and 1 top five. So I got to keep an eye on to make the playoffs is Sheldon Creed. Camping World Truck Series champion, hasn't had the best of luck this season in NASCAR Xfinity Series. A lot of DNFs and a lot of...
Owen, you just missed something very funny happened behind you, by the way.
A lot of things on that weren't on his part to blame. So that's what look out for Sheldon Creed to maybe make the playoffs if he wins at Daytona. If he doesn't win, I don't think he's going to make the playoffs. So he'll win, he's in. So look out for him to be competitive in that number two Richard Childress Chevrolet. Moving on to the NASCAR Cup Series. Kyle Larson won the NASCAR Cup Series race at Watkins Glen, sweeping the weekend, winning the NASCAR Xfinity Series race and the NASCAR Cup Series race. Larson made a move on the final restart of the race to take the lead away from Chase Elliott going to turn number one. There's been a lot of hate going around, a lot of hate towards him and a lot of negative towards Kyle Larson about, you know, his win at Watkins Glen and taking away from Chase Elliott and the way he drove. And I mean, it's racing. Rubin's racing. It's the final restart of the race. You got to do what you got to do to win the race. I mean, he didn't bump him or move him out of the way, but he did send it going into turn number one. You're accelerating over 100 miles an hour, and you're going to the first corner is a late braking corner, and then you accelerate after that corner down the long straight uphill. So he did what he had to do to win, taking the win away from Chase Elliott, who ended up finishing fourth in that race. So let's see how the race at Watkins Glen affected the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. Actually, my fault. We're going to talk about Kimi Raikkonen, because Kimi Raikkonen, he DNF'd in his NASCAR Cup Series race at Watkins Glen, driving for Trackhouse. He had a mechanical failure with his car, and he DNF'd. So all the Formula One fans and Kimi Raikkonen fans, it was sad to see him, you know, DNF at Watkins Glen. I had high hopes that he'd do really well. I mean, he has road course experience racing. He had a ton of races in Formula One. He has a ton of experience in Formula One. I mean, he's like top five in like miles driven in Formula One. And he has over 20 wins in Formula One and over 100 podiums. And he's a champion in Formula One, the last champion for Ferrari in 2007. So, yeah. So let's see how the Watkins Glen race affected the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. So first you have Chase Elliott, who has 922 points, who also wrapped up. He is the number one seed in the playoffs, and he gets 15 extra playoff points. Ladies and gentlemen, that is huge in the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs, because you're going to need all the playoff points you can get, because you're going to be racing. You know, it's going to come down. It'll be round of 16, round of 12, round of 8, and then round of 4 for the championship. So you need all the points you can get to advance to the championship race in Phoenix. So there are 4 drivers duking it out for the NASCAR title. So whoever finishes first, whoever finishes ahead of all the other playoff drivers will win the championship. Usually comes down to who wins the race. That's how it's came down the past years. So first, Chase Elliott, 922 points, 4 wins, and 10 top fives. Kyle Larson with 788 points, 2 wins, and 10 top fives. Joey Logano with 767 points, 2 wins, and 7 top fives. Ross Chastain with 761 points, 2 wins, and 10 top fives. Fifth, Kevin Harvick, with 690 points, 2 wins, 7 top fives. Sorry. Then you have William Byron, who's in sixth, who has 664 points, 2 wins, and 4 top fives. Seventh, Tyler Reddick, with 602 points, 2 wins, and 7 top fives. Eighth, Denny Hamlin, with 591 points, 2 wins, and 5 top fives. Ninth, Christopher Bell, who has 733 points, 1 win, and 7 top fives. 10th, Kyle Busch, with 679 points, 1 win, and 6 top fives. 11th, Alex Bowman, who has 615 points, with 1 win and 3 top fives. 12th, Daniel Suarez, with 614 points, 1 win, and 6 top fives. 13th, Austin Cindric, with 580 points, 1 win, and 4 top fives. 14th, Chase Briscoe, the Indiana native, with 571 points, 1 win, and 3 top fives. 15th, Kurt Busch, who's been out due to a concussion, and Ty Gibbs, the NASCAR Xfinity Series driver for Joe Gibbs Racing, has been subbing in for him while he is still recovering from the concussion. He is 15th with 485 points, 1 win, and 5 top fives. And then rounding out the playoffs right now is Ryan Blaney in the final spot available in the playoffs with 779 points, 0 wins, and 8 top fives. It's crazy to think that Martin Truex Jr., who was the 2017 champion, is out of the playoffs right now. He's 17th. He has not won a race this year. I can't believe he's not won a race this year. And he's out of the playoffs. That's so bizarre to me, because he's usually been in the playoffs like every year since he switched to, you know, driving for, you know, Furniture Row, and then switching to Toyota. I mean, I think he's been in the playoffs ever since the second season at Furniture Row, and then they switched to Toyota, and he's, you know, went to Joe Gibbs. He's been in the playoffs every other year, and he's won a race. And he's not won a race yet, so it's bizarre to me. So other guys that I could see making the playoffs, we're coming down to the final race of the playoffs, final race of the regular season. We have Eric Almirola, who I believe can make the playoffs if he wins at Daytona. Great restrictor plate racer. He's won two of his three wins were on restrictor plates, one at Daytona and one at Talladega, so he knows how to get around those restrictor plate races, and I could see him winning at Daytona this coming weekend. Also, I can see Bubba Wallace. He won at Talladega last season, his first career win on a restrictor plate, but he's also been really good on restrictor plates. He finished second in the Daytona 500 this year. I think he's finished like second like three different times in the Daytona 500. So he's came close to win the Daytona 500, and he knows how to get around restrictor plate tracks. So watch out for them to be to have good races on those restrictor plates and be a factor next weekend. Also, Eric Jones. I could see Eric Jones making the playoffs. It'd be really neat to see the 43 car for Richard Petty Racing, Richard Petty Motorsports, make the playoffs. He's a fantastic driver. He used to drive for Joe Gibbs. His first career win came on a restrictor plate in the July Daytona race. He's just, in my opinion, a very underrated driver, and he's very consistent. So I could see him making the playoffs if he wins. That's if he wins. So Mark Truex, Eric Jones, Eric Almirola, also Austin Dillon. He won the Daytona 500. He knows how to get around restrictor plate races as well. Look out for those guys to be factors by at Daytona next weekend. So that is all the NASCAR news we have for you guys today. Now let's turn it over to DJ Trey with your IndyCar news. Take it away, Trey.
All right, so this week I look over in the studio and see Owen. I think I heard Owen's ears. Sorry, Owen. This week, Michael Andretti, there's rumors around Indiana that Michael Andretti is looking to buy a new race shop in Fishers for $200 million. And that's a lot of money considering, well, I mean, it's not a lot of money considering how he's doing, but it's a lot of money. And there are only two races left in the championship for IndyCar. So let's hope that there's not that many pileups and crashes. And then, Joseph Newgarden picked up his fifth win of this season. So that's amazing. What do you guys think about that?
You know, I think the gateway race you could call it. I'm excited for Malukas. He finally got his first podium, taking second.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Newgarden still winning races, and did you see the tweet on what is it called? It's two drivers. I can't think of who it is.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, that was funny. They were talking about Malukas, and he like slept with his trophy and.
That's awesome.
Everything like that.
Hey, I don't
he was
blame
so
him.
Happy. I saw.
I would have.
Yeah, he was so happy. It was honestly. It wasn't. I don't blame him.
I mean, I think that this championship's going to come down on the wire. I mean, Trey, could you tell everyone listening how the
what?
Could you tell everyone listening how the championship is playing out right now and all the points and. Everything, how close it is right now?
Yep. So, the points right now are Will Power is in first place with 482 points. And Joseph Newgarden right now is in second with 479 points.
Only three points back?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm telling you, folks, it's going to come down the wire.
Mm-hmm.
Newgarden's won five races, but Will Power has been extremely consistent with qualifying and just been extremely consistent, you know. If he's not winning a race, he's going to be trying to finish in the top 10, top 5 every race. He's been extremely consistent. So that's why Will Power is leading the championship. He only has one win this year, but he's been extremely consistent this year with finishing in top 5s and getting podiums. Sorry, Trey, you can keep going.
All right. Scott Dixon, 14 points off from Will Power, and that's a lot. It's not a lot. It's going to come down to the wire,
yeah,
just like
sure.
you said. Marcus Ericsson, 17 points off in the Honda.
Indianapolis 500 champion this year for Chip Ganassi Racing.
Yep.
He's been extremely consistent this year. I mean, he has that win at the Indianapolis 500, but he's been extremely consistent, so that's why he's still in the hunt for this championship. And he did win the most points-paying race of the season at Indianapolis, so he got rewarded for that. And he was up. He had a good championship lead at one point,
yeah.
But Newgarden and Team Penske, you know, chopping out that lead bit by bit every race. So, Trey, continue.
All right, Alex Palou, 43 points off from Will Power.
I feel like it is a horse race at this point in the championship. It's either Will Power, Joseph Newgarden, Scott Dixon or Marcus Ericsson for the championships. 43 points. I mean, you could win a couple races. I mean, you could win a race. He needs to win. He needs to win. Alex Palou needs to win to stay, you know, in this championship hunt. Or, you know, have bad luck from – or one of the drivers gets bad luck. Like, let's say Newgarden spins out, he wrecks, or DNFs, or Will Power. One of those top four guys, you know, DNFs, they'll drop down in the points, and Palou will have a shot at winning a championship. So mm-hmm. – He needs a win, in my opinion, or just hope one of those four guys to have failures during a race. Because we only have two more races before the IndyCar Championship is wrapped up. So keep going, Trey.
All right. So up next is Scott McLean, which is 54 points off.
Scott McLaughlin.
Whatever.
Scott McLaughlin.
I can't say
it. Okay, it's okay,
sorry,
Trey.
Scott McLaughlin.
It's okay, Trey. You're good, buddy.
DJ Trey?
He's only 54 points off, and he is racing in a Chevy. So I'm surprised he's not higher up in the podium because of the two Chevys currently leading the podium right now. And, yeah. Do you have anything to say about that, Landon?
So Scott McLaughlin, he's done, I mean, compared to his rookie year last year, he's won two races this year, St. Petersburg and at Mid-Ohio. I think he's done a fantastic job this season winning and, you know, trying to be consistent and, you know, keep up with Joseph Newgarden and Will Power and those guys because, you know, it's hard, you know, coming into Team Penske when you have Will Power, who's a champion. You have Joseph Newgarden. I think Will Power's one. He's a consecutive time champion. You got Joseph Newgarden is a two-time champion. You have, you know, Will Power broke. Will Power's a fantastic driver. Mm-hmm. He just broke the most poles in IndyCar history. Tied Michael Andretti or one of the Andretti's. So, you know, he's up against a lot with, you know, champions, and he's done a fantastic job this year, in my opinion. Winning and, you know, keeping up with Power and Newgarden this season. So, yeah.
All right. So, back to the how it's all about to line up. The Pato Award, I can't say that one, is currently 58 points off from Will Power.
Needs a win. I think he needs a win.
Yeah. That poor guy needs a win. He is in a Chevy, so if that says anything, I think it's mainly his, like...
Chevy's been really good this season. They've won the majority of the races this year. He's had bad luck. A few races, I know that he had bad luck at the Indy GP, round two of the Indy GP, mm-hmm. for the whole NASCAR weekend.
The Gallagher Grand Prix.
He wrecked out. I mean, he was, like, I think he started, like, second or third, and he got spun out. So that put him back
on. He started fifth.
Yeah.
And ended up finishing, I believe, 15th because of that wreck. And then, I mean, Aaron McLaren just didn't have a good day that day.
No.
Rosenquist started on pole.
Mm-hmm. It's just they lacked speed. Unfortunately dropped back. They lacked speed. I was hoping for a good day for Aaron McLaren at the Gallagher Grand Prix. Because Rosenquist was on pole, so I expected him, you know, maybe have a shot at winning the race. But... award spinning, he just couldn't really, you know, catch up to Power and Newgarden and McLaughlin because they were quick that day. I know they didn't win the race. I know Rossi went on to win, but Power and McLaughlin were on the podium that race, and he lost big time to his championship rivals by finishing 15th. So he got, you know, pushed back down in the points.
And then after him is Alexander Rossi, surprisingly, with 157 points away from the first place title. So
I don't think he has a shot to win the championship. He's had a lot of for the past like three seasons, ever since he won. I think his last win. I don't know when his last win came, like 3 years ago, if maybe 4 years.
Yeah.
He's had bad luck ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of been rough for Rossi, and now he's moving to Aero McLaren SP next year.
I think he has a chance with Aero McLaren.
Yeah, I think he's gonna have. I think he's gonna have a lot better equipment than at.
And he'll have.
Than at Andretti. Andretti's had a ton of reliability issues. That's one of the reasons why he's 100. How many points is he behind Power?
He is currently 127.
127 points back. That's one of the other reasons why. You know, his reliability in those Andretti cars. I mean, Colton Herta, mm-hmm. he's down. That's why he hasn't been doing so well this year, due to the reliability issues of those Honda engine cars and Andretti cars, in my opinion. Honda has just not had a good year in the manufacturer championship with reliability issues and engine failure. It has just not been a good year. So that's one of the, I mean, I'm happy for Rossi. He's going on to drive for McLaren SP. I think they're a fantastic team. They're a great team.
And he has a chance.
I think he has a better chance, too. Because, I mean, McLaren finished second in the championship last year with Pato Award. So,
yeah. I think he has a better chance with better team, better equipment, and a better car.
Also, Aero McLaren SP is building an IndyCar race shop. Is it Westfield?
Yeah, Westfield. I'm actually going to it soon.
What, Owen? What was it? Oh.
It's Whitestown.
Whitestown. My fault. Whitestown.
Garrett.
Okay. They're They're going to White. They're going to be putting it in Whitestown, so that's going to be incredible. I'm going to have to go check that out. So, all right. Moving on to Trey. Let's see what else you got, Trey.
Felix Rosenquist with 142 points away from Will Power. So that
needs a win.
Yeah, that poor guy needs it.
He needs wins, and I don't think he's going to have a shot.
Yeah,
he's 100-something points back.
Yeah, definitely not. And then Colton Herta, he ain't making it. 148 points, in my opinion. No. I personally don't think he's going to make it to the championships.
I don't think you're going to win the championship if you are, you know, more than 20 points behind. Yeah.
So I think the top four
it's going to be a four horse race for championship.
And then it's going to be like all down to the wire, like super close. Like we're all going to be scared until the checker comes out, like, because it's going to be a close race. I can already tell that.
Is that all you got, DJ Trey?
Yup.
So now we are turning it over to Owen Pulley with your Formula One news. Take it away, Owen.
Yeah, so big news coming into Formula One. This summer break is finally coming to an end as the Belgian Grand Prix will be kicked off starting August 25th at Spa. So we're excited for that. Max Verstappen leads by 80 points in the driver's standings. But some big news that I want to get to today is American F2 driver Logan Sargeant. It'll be big for him racing for the Williams F2 circuit area team, you could say. I don't really know what to call it, but racing for them in F2. Obviously, Alex Albon was re-signed already, but Latifi has not, so we'll still have to wait for that. He could go there. He could go if Latifi does get re-signed to Williams or go somewhere else. Alfa Romeo could be a big spot there as Zhou Guan Yu, his contract, I believe, is up at the end of the season, and I believe Valtteri Bottas is as well. So it'll be big to see possibly an American F2 driver or F1 driver for the first time in a while.
For sure. I don't think we've had an American Formula One driver since, I think, Roger Penske had a team in the 70s or 80s, and they won in Austria. That was pretty impressive. They won a Formula One race in Austria. So, yeah, that'd be really cool to see an American Formula One driver, because not a lot of Americans race Formula One. I think that's
most race IndyCar.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's pretty sick.
Yeah, it'll be big to see a guy in the F1 seat from America, like you said, back in the 70s, 80s, I believe was the last American driver. I could be wrong. But we'll just have to see there. You never know.
So with the Belgium Grand Prix coming up, Owen, who do you think is, you know, going to have a shot to win that race? Who do you think will win the Belgium Grand Prix?
You know, I think it could be really anybody in the front pack. I think that this could be a Ferrari race. At the same time, I think that it could be a Mercedes race or a Red Bull race. I have a weird feeling that George Russell is going to take this one.
That's what I was feeling, because when we come to Spa, it normally rains. It seems like it rains every weekend. We come to Spa. I mean, last season we couldn't even get a Formula One race in at Spa because of the rain, and it got canceled due to the weather. And George Russell qualified second in a Williams in the rain. That is mind-blowing that he qualified second in a Williams in the rain. I mean, he's a fantastic qualifier, great driver. He got the best result, I mean, out of that car. In my opinion, like, you could, I don't even know if you really, I mean, I don't even know where Latifi qualified.
Yeah.
I mean, you're basically running like almost dead last in a Williams weekend and week out. So qualifying second last season at Spa was a huge accomplishment for George Russell, and him getting the podium at Spa due to, you know, the weather, and they didn't race, so mm-hmm. he ended up getting the podium. And I think it was like Williams' first podium since like Felipe Massa in like 20. No, it was their first podium since Lance Stroll at Azerbaijan in 2017. So I could see Russell being a big factor at Spa. He's really good qualifier in the rain. So That'd be amazing to see him win.
Especially with that team, he's really good in the ring.
Yeah, Mercedes, they are definitely on a climb, a momentum boost after these last three races of podium finishes. Mm-hmm. Lewis Hamilton and George Russell, last race they had, they finished second and third at Hungary. So they're on a momentum boost. So watch out for Mercedes to be a factor at Spa.
They're going to be good.
So, yeah, watch out for them to be a big factor at Spa. So, I want anything else?
You know who else I think is could be pretty good at Spa?
Who?
In the two words, is a famous song. Do I have permission to give you a little tune?
Sure, buddy. Go for it.
I think it's going to be a smooth operator.
Sainz. Yeah, so watch out for Carlos Sainz. He qualified in the rain at Britain and ended up qualifying on pole position. And he went on to win his get his first career Formula One win at the British Grand Prix. So watch out for him to be a factor at Spa as well. So.
Yeah, that's a big name. I think Sainz could win it. If it's going to be a Ferrari, it will be Sainz. I think if it's going to be a Mercedes, it'll be Russell. And I think if it's going to be a Red Bull, it will be Verstappen.
This is sort of like, I mean, this is like another one of Verstappen's home races. I know he's from, you know, he's Dutch, but, you know, he was born in Belgium. So this is kind of like another one of his, you know, big races for him personally, because it's one of his home races. And I mean, last season he put on a different helmet because it was the Belgium Grand Prix and it's one of his, you know, personal races. So he went all out for that with the different helmet and ended up winning. So, yeah.
Hey, boys, can we go back to IndyCar for a minute?
Sure.
Sure, DJ Trey.
Ray Hall Letterman Racing. But they just announced a few days ago that they are actually building a new, like,
race shop.
Yeah, new like race complex, Graham Ray Hall Performance, Graham Ray Hall Paint Protection.
Yep.
All of it is going to Zionsville.
Yeah.
And
I told
it should
you,
be
DJ
done.
Trey. I told you that was happening.
Yep.
I told you. I knew it.
And it should be happening around 2024 when the shop opens up.
That's going to be amazing.
It's going to be a really big shop, and it's going to be really good for their signature Cars and Coffee, which I'm going to. So if you guys don't have anything to do this weekend, I mean.
I'm busy.
But Graham Ray Hall has had the tendency to show up at the Cars and Coffees. So,
oh, yeah, DJ Trey. Oh, you know, you should interview him.
I might, honestly. WBDG, I might.
And we could, you know.
I might.
That'd be amazing. But, yeah, it's really, you know, neat and amazing to see, you know, all these IndyCar teams, you know, building shops in Indy.
Yeah.
You got the spectacle of racing, the greatest spectacle of racing
especially
in Indiana.
Here.
Like, here. And it's not, I mean, from the studio, it's not even that far. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's not even far from my house in general. So, I mean, it's amazing to see that. I mean, with you have Arrow McLaren SP building one in Whitestown. Now you have Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan. They used to be in Ohio at one point.
Yeah,
now they're moving to Zionsville. So it's really neat, and you can see all these teams building shops in Indy.
Especially when IndyCar has, like, a history here in Indianapolis. Like, the season starts here in Indianapolis and basically goes from there. So,
But I'm sorry, buddy. The season starts in St. Petersburg, but I know what you mean. That's cool. That's cool. I'm just giving you crap. But, yeah, it's really neat to say thank you, DJ Trey, for that.
Woo, DJ Trey.
Yeah, DJ Trey.
DJ Trey.
So, yeah, I mean, I think, like, I can see what you mean. I feel like the season really, like, I mean, starts to pick up during, you know, the Indianapolis, like, after the Indy road course, then we're going to the Indianapolis 500. That's when things start to pick up, the championship, the drama, the atmosphere, the energy, the whole, just everything, you know, around the driver. It's just the air. The air people breathe.
Yeah.
The essence of racing.
The essence of racing just builds up and up and up
and like,
on, like, 10 different notches. Yeah, so...
Once it's time for like the 500 and everything, everybody just gets festive and all of that.
It's all pumped up. Everyone's pumped.
Not when you're working Speedway, it gets really
crowded. Yeah, it sucks to be you, Owen.
I like my job. It's just really crowded sometimes.
But I think honestly, Indy is one of the best choices that I've like had to go see a race. Like,
yeah,
it's. Granted, I have family in St. Petersburg, and I have family about everywhere that I can go see a race, but I like being able to go see a race at Indy that's only half an hour away from my house. And
half an hour?
Yeah.
Dang.
I know. It's nice.
I live like 10 minutes from the track. It's amazing.
Of course. Yeah, I live like 10 to 15 minutes. Yeah.
I live like 5.
Where do you live? What's your address, Trey?
No.
Oh, no, we're not doing this again.
Which school do you go to, Trey?
Tri-West.
Tri-West, that's right.
So, we have a history, actually, that our really old and late, our late driving instructor, actually, Jeff Gordon, went to Tri-West. So,
yeah, Jeff Gordon!
We have a new, so to switch the topics up real fast, we're going to NASCAR because of the fact that Jeff Gordon might be coming into Indy. I've heard some rumors around my school that Jeff Gordon's going to be at our first school game on Friday. I'm pumped, and I'm going to be wearing all my Jeff Gordon gear. And if he is there, I'll get his autograph for you boys.
Yeah, you better, dude. I need you, bro. I need you to.
Because he's came to Pittsburgh a few times, and he's went over to Indy a few times. So I'm hoping that he'll come to our dedication thing for him. So yeah,
you know, okay, I know we're like almost done with the show and everything, but you know, we're gonna be done in like 2 minutes.
Yeah,
you know, it'd be really sick and really cool if you got to meet Tony Stewart. Jeff Gordon he wasn't born in Indiana, he moved in Indiana.
Yeah,
but it'd be really neat, and I've always wanted to meet Tony Stewart. My favorite NASCAR driver of all time. He's an Indiana boy, so it'd be really neat to see, you know, meet him. That would be really cool. I don't know. It's just like we brought up Jeff Gordon, so it's like, you know, yeah, so.
Yeah, basically Jeff Gordon's like the expired version, and Tony Stewart is like the brand new. No, like, you get what I'm saying, like the Cars reference.
Yeah. Like
he's going out and. He was going out of his racing era when Tony Stewart first came in, and
no, Jeff Gordon was still dominating as well.
I mean, you're kind of right.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have for today on All Gas No Brakes. I hope everyone has a fantastic day, and don't forget to tune in to All Gas No Brakes every Wednesday from 8:30 a.m. to 9:15 a.m. See you guys in the next episode. Goodbye. Remember,
bye.
This is Indy's Giant 90.9, your station for variety.
Bye.